what are you going to do, Taylor? What are you going to do?
I'm going to enunciate into the microphone as best I can.
I think that's, I'm okay with that. Hi, guys. It's Megan Collins from Style Girlfriend. I'm here with Taylor Davies.
Hi, guys.
Back for another episode of the pod. And we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
We've already been talking offline.
Mm-hmm.
You just poured some Sancerre.
Yeah, I did.
So let's get into it.
Let's do this.
You know what I want to talk about first that we actually talked about last week, but we cut from the pod because it was so jumbled and like such a mess, was Song of Summer 2018.
SOS.
TM. I feel like now that it's finally getting a little warmer, I'm so excited
about
summer playlist.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but my summer playlist at the end of last year was like all of those songs were my most played songs. You know how
For
Spotify sent out that thing that's like, hey, you loser, you're going to be really surprised by what, you know, the song you played the most is. And for me, it was Lady Gaga, The Cure, which was not even like a really big song.
I didn't get into that song until a little after it came out, but it was pretty good.
It was a banger, but it was also the first song on my like SOS, like Song of Summer 2017, like Contenders playlist.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I heard it constantly.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I can't remember which songs were the most played for me last year. I don't know. I'm sure some of them were SOS songs because I just get really in a mood.
Yes, all I want from May through August is to listen to songs that I could eat a burger to or, like, be on a boat to.
Yeah, ride a bicycle.
Sure. Be, like, on a picnic blanket somewhere in a park.
Yeah. Or be, like, getting ready to go out. I feel like Song of Summer songs have to make you really excited to, like, put on your outfit and, like, go out for drinks at night on the weekends and stuff.
Yes, let's back up. What makes an SOS?
For me, the SOS has to have a really catchy hook, has to be super sing-along-able. That's a word. And it's got to be, I feel like for me, Song of Summer has to be dancey. It has to be dancey and catchy and upbeat. Well, I don't know. I feel like everybody feels that way, right? Like, I don't think too many Song of Summers are like ballads or even sort of like out of place songs, right? Like, remember Slide was a big Song of Summer last year.
Calvin Harris
and Frank Ocean, which was so good. And then
I feel like with Calvin Harris songs, it never really matters who the other people are in the song.
No, because he's the one in the background, like, making it, like, so catchy.
So I agree with you. It has to be catchy, and it has to be fast enough to, if not dance to, at least, to your point, get ready to. Like, nobody wants to get ready to, I don't know, like, She and Him. Right? Like,
yeah.
We just came out with some new song. Like,
Nobody's
getting ready and getting hyped to go out to that music. So I agree. It has to be something that even if you're not literally hitting the dance floor to it, you're feeling amped up by it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get it in their heads that Song of Summer should just be like a song that people like. But it's so much more than that.
So much more than that. I agree with that. And I feel like it has to be like a happy message usually, or like an empowering message. Like, it could be a breakup song, or it could be, okay, are you pulling up your SOS from last year?
This is 2017.
Wow.
We're looking at the Spotify playlist right now.
Remember when I hadn't heard Despacito until like June?
And we asked a DJ to play it at some press party, and the DJ was like, no. Like, you guys are such dorks, because by that time, it was already like played out.
And you were like, I can't believe you haven't heard this song. And then I went home and played it on my phone and was like,
you were like, it's okay.
Oh, I guess. And then later I was like, I can't get enough.
Yeah.
Can't
it took you like a week.
Enough.
I feel like there was a progression of text from me where you were like, okay, yeah, no, now I'm on board.
And now it's happening. Yeah. Despacito was for sure SOS last year.
Yes. And then the year before that, I would like to say it was Trap Queen.
Yes, it was.
Is that the year before that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was either 2016 or 2015. But that was another example of something where, again, it's really upbeat. Everyone felt like they could like get involved.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You and I talked about last week the new Ariana Grande song, and I think that she's probably angling for a song of the summer. I don't think that this is it.
No,
I'm
sure
it
called Tears to Cry or something like that.
Yeah, No More Tears.
No More Tears, yeah.
I will look forward to seeing what she has coming up next.
Me too.
I don't think we're done with her yet.
I think she's got something in her back pocket.
I also don't think there's any other strong contenders out there, though. I think everyone is still in the game, but I don't think that we know what it is yet. Like, it's not Nice for What by Drake. I like that song, but it's not fast enough. It's sort of like Passion Fruit. Like, Passion Fruit last year was, like, a good song.
Passion Fruit was, like, a personal SOS for me because I liked it, so it made it into a lot of the playlists for my summer. But it definitely wasn't, like, Hotline Bling.
Right. 100%.
So, was that an SOS, Hotline Bling?
No, I feel like that was
a winter
year-long song.
Because he was wearing a turtleneck in the music video, which makes me think it must have been, like, a fall.
Although that could just be a look. But no, it wasn't. True. I don't think it was a summer song.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, in conclusion, we will make a playlist. I'll put it up on my Spotify, and we'll just be adding to it. And that's the fun thing about Song of Summer, too, is, like, there's a lot of songs that just make you – they will stay in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, moving forward as, oh, that was, like, a really big song in summer 2018. It will not be the song of summer.
Exactly.
But we will be adding contenders, and we'll be expecting for you guys to weigh in as well.
Yeah. We need your help. Because also I feel like it's different. Like, there's, like – I feel like I have a couple of things that are going to be, like – albums of summer that I'm going to play a lot, like the new Kacey Musgraves. I'm already like on one big time for that, and I feel like that album is going to be a soundtrack for the summer. And then the Aces, who we were talking about, they have that one song that we both love, which won't ever get big enough to be Song of Summer. No. But their whole album also feels very like summery, like at the beach, like driving. I'm imagining driving to the Hamptons, like listening to it and being like, oh yeah, like let's stop for some lemonade in East. Okay.
You're not wrong. You definitely just painted a picture.
Yeah.
I get what you're going for.
Yeah.
Another, I had written down that Sugarland song that was written by Taylor Swift called Babe.
Barf, Megan. I know. I hate it.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think it's Song of Summer. But oh. I've been listening to it a lot.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know.
I listened to it once and thought this is horrible. Also because I feel like this is also going to offshoot us into a whole other topic, but I feel some type of way about the word babe. Mm. And everybody does, right? Because, like, we all have that thing from SNL. Remember the skit with Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis? Babe. The perp. Babe.
Like, isn't that sketch get me a rabbit. Called, like, the assholes or something?
Yeah, two assholes do whatever. Oh, my God. It's so good. So good. We'll have put a link into it into the show notes in case you guys need a refresher. But, like, babe, like, I want to lose 35 pounds. Like, babe, like, buy me a rabbit. Like, it's just, like, so random. But they call each other babe, 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 babe over and over and over again. And it's so funny because we all know people who do that in earnest in real life. And I feel like I've forever tied the word babe and, like, calling the song babe, like.
So is that not a term of endearment that you use in relationships? Do you never call a boy babe?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But you know what's so funny is that my parents call each other babe.
Oh.
But they're old. And so I feel like a different way about – I feel like they're doing it in a different context. Like my mom is not sitting there going, babe, make me an old-fashioned. Like she'll do it when she's like mad. Like she'll just be like, oh, like babe, like, like get more firewood. Like, you know, like – it's like a different context for some reason, which maybe is right and maybe is wrong. But anyway, that's my feeling about the word babe and same.
Again, I didn't say that babe was going to be Song of the Summer.
No, you didn't. But you do like it.
I do like it.
Do you call people babe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think probably baby more.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I also feel like the last time I was even like close enough to be like someone and being like, we're dating, I still wasn't close enough to not be just calling them by their name.
See, I hate using people's names. Even like talking on this podcast, sometimes I'll be like just even introducing you, I'm like, I feel so silly saying your name because I'm not like, hey, Taylor, want to go do this? Taylor, what do you think? Like, I don't know why, but that sounds so silly to me. I always just feel like when you're close with people, you don't use their name, period.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Well, and I feel like we were talking about this before, the whole nickname thing I think is really funny. And I told you that guy who I've like gone on a few dates with, when he first said hi to me on the dating app, he just was like, hey, T.
Yeah.
And it was like so endearing to me. And he has continued to call me T like since that moment, which I think is funny. And I like I love having a nickname.
Yeah. So what you're saying is I should start calling you babe.
Yeah.
I would be
and
so
I'll call you baby. People would be really grossed out if we did that, I think.
Babe and baby from here on out.
Babe and baby.
We can rename the pod. I like it. I'm going to make a really just
sharp
swerve
180.
Yep. Because we've got a reader question this week that is really thoughtful and really, I feel very honored that this like follower shared this question with us because it's like a pretty big deal. But what's so interesting is it does absolutely relate back to fashion. So it's not, it's not totally out of left field, but I'm just going to read it. So I'm in recovery for an eating disorder, and this is a male reader.
Yeah.
I'm in recovery for an eating disorder, body dysmorphia, and compulsive exercising. At the peak of my disorder, I got almost high off dressing well and getting complimented on my styles and fits. But now a necessary part of my recovery is weight gain, which means growing out of many of those same style and fits. Buying larger sizes is trigger city for the insecurity that leads to this maladapted spiraling. I want to feel good in my body, but body positivity rhetoric is so clearly female-centered that it's hard for me to access. He just goes on to say, like, do you have any tips for how men can sort of access and navigate these body positivity areas without taking over the space? But also he obviously still wants to feel like he can access that and still feel like he can be supported. So like I said, this is super deep.
Yeah.
And I feel really, again, honored that he trusted us with this.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm like, hey, welcome to the party, right? Like, even without... I feel grateful that I've never suffered from an eating disorder, but I've certainly hated my body in private and without necessarily doing too much about it for a real long time because I'm a woman and that's like what we're taught to do.
Yeah.
So I definitely can empathize with the idea of how do I like my body, right?
Yeah.
Like I think that's just something, even without the eating disorder, I think that's something that we all struggle with, and I think men don't feel necessarily as comfortable saying that. And we hear a lot from guys of like, oh, like what kind of jeans should I buy because I've got like these big thighs, or what, you know, I'm super skinny and everything looks like it hangs on me. Like guys do have body insecurity issues.
Totally.
Absolutely. And so I think for me, something that really helped recently, I read this piece on Manrepeller, which is a great site and talks about a lot of issues that both men and women can relate to. It's a women's fashion site, but they just have really insightful writers.
Yeah.
And they talked about moving from body positivity to body neutrality.
Okay.
And for me, that really resonated because I think it's bullshit to act like you should like something that you don't like.
It's disingenuous.
It's super disingenuous. And it doesn't mean that you have to go around hating yourself, but I think to just get to a place where it's not about forcing yourself into believing something that doesn't feel true for you, and rather finding acceptance and maybe some contentment from releasing yourself from constantly thinking about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sort of feeling like I have flaws, I see them, I think about them, but I don't have to walk around being proud of them, but I also don't have to beat myself up about them. Feeling like you can just sort of live with them in a way and say, okay, this is me, I'm still a worthwhile person, I'm still... like worthy of love and to be found attractive and to wear what I want to wear and enjoy it, but not feel like you have to also like, I don't know. And I feel like this is so hard as women to not feel like you're in this body positivity camp where you, because I think there are a lot of people that really do feel like you have to celebrate every flaw you mm-hmm. have. And that also puts a lot of pressure on men, on women, because it's not real for everyone to love themselves in that way. I just feel like that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't. Like, I feel like the body neutrality speaks to me a lot too, because I feel like body positivity is super false for almost everyone. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that for me, what I had to come to the realization was, so I wish I was a little bit, what is that from Knocked Up where she's like, you should just tighten up. Like if you could just tighten up. Like that's always what I think about because I would love to lose just a little bit of weight out of my hips and my butt. Like literally,
mm-hmm.
like I'm very like, it's not just like, oh, I hate my body. It's like, I wish I literally was like 5 pounds
sure.
tightened up there.
Yeah.
That said, I'm super healthy. I work out almost every day. I eat pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if I ate even better, and by that I mean just like pretty much cutting out sugar or whatever.
Yeah.
I would lose those pounds. Like it's not a mystery, right? Like we all kind of know how to lose weight if we really want to. And for me, like I have made a decision that it is not important enough for me to lose those last 5 pounds to like never have sugar again, like to never have a cookie and to never like drink a glass of wine and all of that. And so I had to come to a place where I was like, look, I know what I can would have to do to change it, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so spending time and energy hating my body while also being in control of it, it just didn't make sense. Like,
it's sort of a lose-lose, right? Like, you feel like you're trying so hard to control what you're doing and trying so hard to look and feel a certain way, and then, I don't know, and then you just end up, like, net unhappy, I guess?
Yeah. And so what's so interesting is obviously a lot of what motivates eating disorders is this desire for control.
Yes.
And so I think for this guy, like, I think what would be really interesting is to try to put yourself back in the driver's seat in terms of creating a wardrobe that accentuates the new parts that you might find that you like, right? Like, so for me, like, I try to not so much show off. Like, I don't like when pants, like, hit me right at the widest part of me.
Yeah.
But I have a really small waist, so then I, like, just, I hire sitting pants. And it doesn't fix the problem, but it, and it's not one of those things where it, like, camouflages the problem either. Like, I'm not wearing muumuus around, but I'm just putting forward a different part of me. And I'm doing that with my clothing choices. So I think for this guy, like, I think it could be really important to, wherever you fall in your new weight, to be like, okay, well, what are the new parts of me that, again, even if I don't love them, I don't hate them.
Yeah, exactly. So like what part do you feel like you would feel good about showing off? I think that's a great piece of advice and a great place to start. Like, I would say the same, like, it's where it's like, oh, okay. Like, I have problem areas from here to Timbuktu, but I love my legs. So that's what we were talking about like a few episodes ago. I'm like, mini skirts, dresses, got to be more into it. Got to like accentuate that because I love to show that part of me off. And then I feel like I can kind of like, I feel less insecure about the other things that I feel insecure about. So I feel like maybe if he's like, oh, I feel like maybe my arms are strong. Like, maybe now is my like opportunity for a great polo, a knit polo shirt or a short sleeve button down, as we like every episode got to like ding, check it off the thing. Or maybe it's like my legs still look great. So maybe now I'm like getting a great pair of shorts. Or like, this is so tough, but it's so like, I feel like we can speak so personally to this. And I wonder with guys if they feel the same way, like if this kind of advice speaks to them the same way it does to women, because it truly, I think it is a little bit of a different mentality. And I think him saying that like it's hard to find advice that speaks to men about this stuff, it seems like, yeah, that would be challenging for sure.
Yeah. And knowing that the body positivity rhetoric doesn't necessarily resonate with us either, like, hopefully that provides some solace as well. Like, you're not alone in feeling like, hey, this doesn't really feel true for me, and am I the one that's messed up? Like, no, you're definitely not.
Yeah. And it's just like whatever small changes you feel like you could maybe make in your wardrobe or in your day-to-day life that give you just like, because it's going to be an ongoing process. We don't have like the perfect answer for you, and we don't have this like solution, because we're all still kind of like working on that stuff day by day, and you know, our bodies change over time and over the years and like all that stuff. So yeah, it's just finding little ways that make you feel just like a little bit more confident every day when you have to like get up and get dressed and face the world.
Yeah. And in the meantime, there's nothing wrong with trying to tell yourself a new story about the fact that like the body that you have is a good, strong, handsome, you know, can do it all body.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you have to say it through gritted teeth, you know, into a mirror while crying. Like, if at some point you kind of want to just be like, I really don't love my whatever, like skinny arms or big hips or bald head. Like, it's okay to just be like, yeah, that sucks. But you know what? I do love my sexy elbows, whatever.
Yeah. Right? Or like, I'm going to grow a new beard and like see how I look with this new beard and see if that makes me feel a little bit different. And I'm going to get a new pair of sunglasses because sunglasses create symmetry and they make everyone look amazing. So like, and I'm going to like, you know, take a picture and in my cool new sunglasses with my new beard and put that up on my dating app and like see who, you know, takes a bite from my new like look, and see if those little things kind of like help boost your confidence in little ways.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say if he has a girlfriend or anything, but I did appreciate that he told us also that he's like speaking to professionals and kind of like getting the help that he needs. Because I think we've talked about this before, that like it can be hard for men to find, to get to a place where they feel like it's okay to seek outside help because they feel like nobody else is doing it because nobody else is talking about it.
Right.
And so I think it's very, like, brave and honest of him to, like, come to us and say, these are these things that I'm doing to work on myself. But then also, like, do you guys have any extra, like, tips and just thoughts, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't read that second paragraph. But, yeah, he said he's seeing, both a traditional therapist and a behavioral nutritionist, which I think is really interesting.
Right.
He said both have told me that this is incredibly common with their male clients and even prevents men not to seek help because they think these problems are women's problems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, for anyone out there that's listening that is dealing with body issues, like, definitely know you're not alone. Definitely know it's not just a woman's thing. And, like, if it's affecting your day-to-day, definitely go talk to someone about it.
Yeah. I mean, I know so many guys who have, like, who deal with body issues on a day-to-day. And I feel like it's, like, my guy friends who were, like, looking really great and then got girlfriends and got super, like, love happy and, like, gained a bunch of weight because they were, like, just happy and, like, all you want to do is, like, hang out and, like, eat food together and, like, have sex and travel. And then you're, like, do I want to, like, go to the gym or do I want to, like, go out for pizza with my new, like, girl? And, like, oftentimes, like, I would probably pick pizza. So I feel like, I don't know. I think you're not alone. And I think it's hard to know who to talk to and who maybe you could reach out to, but I bet you'd find that more people than you ever thought, more guys than you ever thought, who are probably in your, like, close or sort of, like, next tier circle probably have issues. And clearly yours is, like, of a degree that's, like, maybe more than they can relate to or maybe they could understand. But at least you could find little bits of common ground that might make you feel a little bit more understood and, like, that you have someone else to talk to in a more casual setting that makes you feel like, oh, okay, like, you know, we're all kind of trudging through.
We all want to feel like we are the best versions of ourselves. And if this guy doesn't feel like that right now, understand that you're not the only one struggling with that. And also that there's nothing wrong with wanting that for yourself. Like, I think guys have this sense of, again, well, that's a woman's issue, or like, oh, like, whatever, really, you know, I don't like how I dress, but also, like, I shouldn't care about how I dress.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really time for people to just accept the idea that how you feel when you look in the mirror impacts every single part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, that we're in this sort of, like, interesting time where men are getting a lot of hate just for being who they are. And I still feel like, even though I think that, like, problematic males are having their day right now, and deservedly so, it doesn't mean that now is also not the time to still continue to give valuable and thoughtful advice and commentary to guys who
are here to hear it.
Who are here to hear it and who want to improve themselves and want to be, like, the best version of themselves, like you said.
Totally. Well, I will say, my hot take this week is actually specifically about that. So should we move into hot takes?
Yeah. So, like, we hope our reader got a little bit of solace and a little bit of, like, peace of mind from what we said. And
yeah, absolutely. And just even know that we're here with you. You know what I mean? Like, we're definitely rooting for you. So hope that you do. Yeah. Whether it's from us or from who the people that you're talking to, or from just your own, you know, network of loved ones and, you know, friends and comrades, like, we hope that you're feeling supported right now.
Yeah. And thank you for, like, writing such a sort of personal and revealing question to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And we bet that you look great, and whatever you decide to get, we'll be here telling you how handsome you look.
Yeah, exactly.
From afar.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll move on to hot takes. Mine this week, I guess this probably is Megan's shade corner. This probably, will qualify as my shade corner comment of the week. But have you heard of this new concept called orbiting?
Why, yes, Megan, I have.
Oh, you have? Because I sent you the article, I think, about it, didn't I?
Yeah, you sent me the article. And guess what? I read the outline.
Oh! You guys can't see it, but I'm crying right now.
Baby, I read that outline.
Oh, babe! See, we can make this happen.
Yeah, it already feels right.
It feels so natural. Oh, my God. Oh, God. That means so much to me.
Okay.
My love language is acts of service. And it's really,
oh, my God.
It touches me.
You know, I really did take a love language quiz this week. I told you that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yours is what?
A physical touch.
Oh.
Physical touch is my number one love language. I think it's because I was so
starved for a physical touch. Uh-huh. Like, would you rather have someone tell you that you're nice and important, or would you rather have them, like, give you a really
hands
sexy hug, and you're
over.
Like, hug, like, give me the hug.
Hands all over. Like, no, to me, like, I would rather, like, hold hands with someone walking down the street than have them, like, tell me I'm an important person in their life. It's true. I don't know. I checked the quiz, and I was like, I think it's going to be physical touch, and then I was right.
We have to link to it. We'll have to put it in the pod. Because
yeah.
I'm, like, a big believer in the love languages. Like,
me
I think
too.
That it's actually super helpful. And I think that people don't often know that when they're projecting onto other people in their relationship,
yeah.
their love language, that is, like, not super
yeah.
productive or helpful.
Is yours really acts of service?
No. It's words of affirmation.
Yeah. Aww. So it's my roommate, that's hers. No, that's hers too, is words of affirmation and quality time, which is also my number two.
Mm-hmm. My number twos, I think, are split between quality time and physical touch.
Yeah.
And then last is gifts. And then what's the
gifts
other one?
Gifts is last for me too. Anyone whose gifts is first.
Hey.
Oh,
hey.
It's
not,
weird,
it's not
right?
Great.
That like you have to have tokens.
I think it's a way of saying I feel like this person thinks about me.
Yeah.
I try not to judge it.
I know. I feel like it's a very disconnected love language though. Like if the person who's giving the gifts also feels like that's their way of showing love is by giving someone like little pieces of things or like little tokens. I also feel like that's sort of like it feels a little bit step removed from
like a deeper
actual closeness.
Well, at the risk of saying too much about my family, I think my dad is someone who his love language is gifts, and that's like for whatever reason, like from, you know, how he is. But I think that he's someone who then he gives gifts to show love. And I think for me, I just have to understand that that is his love language and
yeah.
so he's trying to show me love. But I think like if I were in like relationship with my, you know, someone like
yeah.
my dad, I would need to be like, listen, I understand that that's you, but like that's not how I like
yeah.
receive love.
Yes. For sure. For
so,
sure.
Yeah, maybe that's a way to judge that less.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. I've come around.
Good. So let's get back to my hot
okay.
take.
Yep. Let's get back
that
to
has nothing to do with the love.
Circling back, orbiting back to Ooh. Your topic.
So this idea, so probably by now everyone's heard of ghosting, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Ghosting is when you sort of just vanish. You've been seeing someone and whether it's a long time or whether it's a short time, you just vanish.
Yeah.
And so then a new term came out, benching, which is like keeping someone sort of
back burnered, putting them on the bench. It's a sports term, which I feel like guys really can relate to.
Sure.
Where you've got players that you're not putting in the game, you're keeping them on the bench just in case.
Yeah. And now orbiting is this idea of if you've like told someone that you don't want to commit to them, but you're still in their, mostly in their
social.
Media
yes.
universe.
Yep.
So maybe you're watching all of her Instagram stories,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're liking things that she's posted on Facebook. Like,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, she knows that you're still there, or he knows that you're still there. I mean, men and women both do this.
Yeah.
But we are two women talking about men right now, so I'm just going to keep it to that.
Yep.
Those gendered pronouns. and so this is insane and awful that in 2018, this is like something we have to think about. But it is.
It is, yeah.
And I will tell you that I had a very personal experience with orbiting this week, and that's why this is my hot take.
Okay.
So I put up a picture of last year's Veuve Clicquot polo match, which you and I went to.
Oh, what a TBT.
We looked so cute.
Yeah, we did.
And they just announced that this year's polo match is, like, coming up in June. And so I was just, like, feeling nostalgic. And, like, what is that, like, saying on Instagram where it's, like, feel cute, might delete later?
Yeah.
I was, like...
Which I feel like is such a teen thing. I feel like we missed that wave.
Yeah. Oh, I could never say that.
Yeah.
But basically, I was just like, it made me think about the polo match. And then I was just like, we have a million pictures because we took so many.
We took a lot.
And so I put one up because it was Thursday and it was a TBT and I am excited for this year's polo match. And I did look cute. I was wearing this like Amanda Uprichard dress, which was like very...
Yeah.
Again, it's
so
like,
flattering.
For me, flattering for my body. And within a few hours, not one, but two guys that I used to date,
mm-hmm.
who both were like, Megan, I do not want to date you anymore, had liked it. Now, Taylor, did they like the picture before that, which was a still life shot of a robe from a new robe company?
I'm going to go with no, they did not.
No, they hadn't. I had not actually seen a like from them in months, months, let's say months, and haven't heard from them. Like, haven't, like, we don't keep in touch.
Yeah.
Because you know how with Instagram stories, like, it'll tell you if somebody's been looking? Like, again, like, if they're in
it
your
It puts
orbit.
Your, I mean, and it's, okay, and they mentioned this in the article, and I feel like it's unproven, but everybody knows it's true. They put your lurkers at the top. So when you go in to look at who's looked at your stories, they put sort of your, like, most, either your most, like, engaged people. Like, you're always at the top for me. I'm sure I'm always at the top for you because we are really supportive of each other's social media. So we're always, like, watching each other's stories and, like, in on it. So I always see if you've seen it. But then I've got a few other people where I'm like, who dat? And they're random people. And oftentimes they're guys. And I'm sort of like, but they're the lurkers and they float to the top.
So it's just really interesting because these people hadn't even been lurking. Like, I just, like, they're not even around.
Right, and they're not watching your stories either, but they came through.
Yeah, and let me know that they're still alive and still probably interested in having sex with me. And that's fine. But I guess my hot take is, like, keep it to your fucking self.
Yeah.
Like, if you decide, if you don't want to be with a person,
yeah,
stop liking their Instagrams. Unfollow them, honestly.
And we've talked about this.
It's the polite thing to do. Like, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do anything with your life, but I'm just telling you that it's really impolite to insert yourself into a woman's life that you have already said that you don't actually want to formally be a part of.
Yep.
So you ought not to be letting her know that you are still alive and out there. Like, honestly, like, just let this girl think that you've fallen off a cliff. Don't exist anymore. Orbiting, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And, like, if you're still interested enough in her, like, either do it from a friend's phone, or in terms of, like checking
a burner
up on
account.
Create a burner account. I don't know. Do something, but just don't let it be you, because then it just makes her think about you, and she doesn't want to think about you because you dumped her.
I can't.
It's just rude. It's rude, is what it is.
It's
That's
rude and it's annoying. And I also feel like it's interesting. In the article, they mentioned that, like, the author, like, had an interaction with a guy that was like, wait, I had no idea that someone could see when I watched their Snapchat stories. Like the author had talked to someone who, like, had gone through a breakup, and then she told the guy, like, stop watching my Instagram stories, and he was like, I had no idea you could see me watching them. So if you guys are out there being sort of, like, if you're, like, still semi-clueless about how all this stuff is working, like, everyone can see everything at this point. Every like, every watch, like, everyone knows, and everyone's looking. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're not going to just disappear into the 400 people who watch that story, like, you will rise to the top. You will be seen. It will be noted. Your orbiting will be found out. And for me, the double tapping, I feel like, is
that's
even
active,
more
stories.
It's
a
even more
engagement.
Of a, like, aggressive orbit than just watching the stories, because I feel like the stories sometimes they just pass through, and you can chalk it up to just letting it play. Like, I've accidentally, like, been looking at a story and then gone off to do something else and just let the stories roll through and just let them keep playing on my phone. I'm like, whatever. Who knows who's felt some type of way about me doing that. But the double tap when you're – and we've talked about this too. When I went through a bad breakup with a guy that I actually was, like, fully committed to, who then broke up with me, and then I thought it was, like, pity likes. These are not pity likes. This is different.
No.
This is, like –
this was, like,
I
just
want
you to know that I still –
this is an I see you. Mm-hmm. This is an I see you double tap, which is so, like – it's so tacky. Like, it's so, like, I'd still hit that is basically what that is.
Yeah. Because if it's not followed
by, like, what's
by
the
a,
next step there? Like, there's nothing will happen, right? Because are they waiting for you to then go on to their, like, go give them a deep like, which is, like, a, like, where you're doing some sort of, like, weird meta flirting on, like, Instagram. Oh, it's so exhausting. Yeah.
No, and I'm not going to do that because I unfollowed them. Like, I don't follow these people that have told me they don't want me in their life. Like, why would I do that? That's dumb.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any
sense.
No,
it's like, if you don't
want
to date me in a real way, you don't get me in any way.
Right. And I would never...
Because that's the nature. That was the nature of the relationship from the beginning. So there's no backpedaling. There's no, like, we're...
Yeah, we're not friends. No. So it just feels really weird to have to contemplate, like, do I block them just so that I don't have to go through another 24 hours of being like, oh, God, this person is now making me, think away about them.
Yeah. You want to be someone who sees that and is like, ha ha, idiot. Like, thanks for the double tap. Thanks for the, like, never going to happen, moving right along. But because we come at you guys with honesty and hot takes, the real truth is that most women don't have that kind of emotional elasticity to bounce back in that way and very easily be like, idiot. If they had an emotional impact on you when it was a relevant thing, it's still going to kind of ping you in a, like, heart place.
Yeah. And people who I've, like, split with either agreeably or in a different way, like, some of those people still follow me and it's fine. But for people who, like, literally were like, Megan, it's not you, it's me, or whatever.
Remember when I couldn't say that
last week? I know. That's, as soon as I said that out loud, I was like, oh, God, did I say that?
It's going to plague us.
I'm just saying, if you legit dump someone, like, if you are, like, you are someone who I don't want to be a major part of my life, then just don't be a major part, or even a small part of it.
Close the door all the way.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah. So that's my hot take.
Yeah.
Do not orbit.
Don't.
Don't do it.
We should all be better than the orbit. Yeah.
Yeah, but be better than the orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hmm. Wow. My hot take is a little bit lighter fare.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I came across an article on GQ that made me smile. And it was basically just sort of like an essay about how going to baseball games is an amazing date idea. Because it's the most boring sport in the world, and you don't go there to watch the sport. You go there to eat hot dogs and drink beer and chit-chat, because you can chit-chat over the entire action and not miss anything, and it's just a fun place to be. And I thought to myself, yes, and how soon can I go on a baseball game date? It's season. The Yankees, the Mets are both playing now, and I felt like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. I want to go and, like, drink, like, a couple of $15 Bud Lights and, like, eat a hot dog and, like, sit in the sun and, like, shoot the shit with a cool guy and just, like, not know anything about baseball, because who cares?
Yeah.
That's my hot take, is that I feel like, let's all do it. Let's all go to baseball games. It's such a fun date idea. Even girls who have a tepid, if non-existent, interest in sports, which is,
doesn't,
like,
matter.
Because live sporting events, I will say, like, I'm, like, really only, like, obviously I've let my novice status with sports be known very well on this podcast, given the conversation we had last week about the outfits and all that, whatever we were talking
and
about.
And who LeBron James plays for.
And yeah.
That's the NBA Finals
all
right
of
now.
Those things.
The details.
Yeah, is that I still love going to live sporting events. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Football, really couldn't care less. Love going to football games. Basketball, a little easier to follow. Very fast-paced. Also super fun. Baseball, slow as molasses. So fun to go. Like, anytime I've been in Chicago or Boston, like, I make a point to, like, go to a base. It's so freaking fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
You sing the games. I, like...
You sing the games?
Sing the game, sing the songs. When I was in Boston last summer, my best friend and I went to a Red Sox game, and for whatever reason, they were doing something with, like, veterans, and they had a veteran come out and sing the national anthem, who honestly, Megan, was like 200 years old. I was crying in the stands, couldn't have been having a better time. But yeah, no, baseball game dates, like, file it right in there. It's also a great, like, sober date idea, which I feel like is something you've talked about on Stout Girlfriend before. Like, you don't have to drink the beers. You can eat the hot dogs and just hang out. And it's a great, like, time-consuming way to, like, get to know someone.
I tweeted, God, like a month ago, before baseball season even started, I want to say, I just said, I want to go to a million baseball games this summer. I think people feel a way about baseball. Like, it is. It's so fun, and it is such a good date, and it's, like, a good early in the game date. It's a good, like, later on. Like, it doesn't, it's just always, like, a fun time.
Yeah. You might even say it's a home run.
I would never.
Okay.
But I can see where you would. But next week, this will be a sports podcast. So
that's,
I hope you guys don't want any more fashion advice.
And
it's
only
just
us talking about sports.
Sport.
Is the NBA finals over yet?
No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
So we got some more time.
Cool.
Did you see Mitt Romney at the Utah Jazz game, and he was wearing a jersey over a Oxford cotton button-down?
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not see that.
He looked so dorky.
And
he's just
such a dweeb.
I mean, he's, so, like, in the presidential election that he was in, he referenced several times just the idea of sport. Like, singular. And, you know, it became, like, this thing.
Sport.
Yeah. I think sport is a great thing for young people to do. Like, that kind of thing. Oh, my God. It was...
I mean, are you British? Is it 1918? Like, I think we should go away and do a bit of sport.
It's
very Downton Abbey.
It's very unrelatable.
And in 2018, in America, just saying sport.
Also, just makes like, don't wear the jersey then. Like, it's fine. Just literally, like, if you're coming from work, just go to the game wearing your...
Wear the quarter zip. If you're that kind of, like, buttoned up person, wear or, like, the quarter zip that has the little, like, logo on it, if you're Mitt Romney. That's more, like...
Yeah, it just looked like an aide was, like, Governor Romney, like, you want to look relatable to the people, so here, put on this jersey that's never been worn.
It seems like someone just threw it at him while he was walking in, and he, you know, pulled it on over what he was wearing. Ay, ay, ay.
It was bad news bears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he'll be our first guest.
Okay.
Because he also is a big sport fan.
He's a big fan of sport.
Mm-hmm.
As are we. Mm.
And in the meantime, you guys want to make sure that you won't miss that. So go subscribe to us on iTunes.
Give us that rate. Give us that review.
All the places.
Five stars. You know you want to.
We're still waiting to hear back from Spotify if we're like allowed on there. But we did just make it to like Radio Public or Public... Not public radio. Radio Public, I want to say. I don't know. I just got an email being like, now you're on this thing.
Mm.
So we're getting to all the places.
Wow. We're being heard by the people.
The people want to know.
They want to know.
All right, babe.
Baby, this has been one for the books.
And with that, goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.